Welcome to the Emmaus Fellowship Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. Emmaus Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. We trust you find this encouraging as you pour over God's Word with us.
You gave me a voice and a song, taught me how to sing. Brothers and sisters, gave me a family.
In Minnesota, what time of the year is it when everybody goes hunting and fishing? It's like, okay, so at one time they advertise, hey, it's time to go fishing and hunting. And if you go to church that next Sunday, there's no man in church. It literally is just a women's meetings. And it took me like 5 years to figure that out. I'm like, why are there only women in this room? What happened to all the guys? And they're like, well, they're all shooting everything and fishing. So that just made me think of that. So thanks for indulging. Go with me to Genesis chapter 22. That's where we're going to be this morning, Genesis 22. And to kind of catch you up where we're at and what we're going to be talking about this morning. So God has given, this is Abraham, God has given Abraham a promised son. And this is going to be the lineage of God's working through human history. And now God is telling him to take his son and actually offer him back to the Lord and basically kill him. Now, by the way, just so you understand historically, it was common practice, if you can imagine humanity. Sometimes humanity shocks me, but it was common practice to sacrifice people at this time in human history. And so people are like, why would God do this? Well, it was a test. God was testing Abraham. Something that I have given you, that I have made these promises, are you willing to give this back to me and trust me? In fact, they even say in the New Testament that Abraham trusted the Lord so much in this that he literally believed that if he sacrificed his son, God would have raised him from the dead to fulfill his word. But our focus of the passage is going to be in verse 14 specifically this morning. And the title of what we're going to cover this is, it's the God who sees you. The God who sees you. So look at me with verse 14 first. Abraham is about to sacrifice his son. He tells his son, the Lord will provide. The Lord gives him a ram. And then it says this, and Abraham named that place, the Lord will provide. And as it is said today, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Now, this is the main passage where we get the concept of Jehovah Jireh. And I'm going to go into that with you, but I want you to start, as we start working through this, I want you to think for a moment that God has declared himself as a provider, the source. And what we're going to do is we're going to discover that God is going to now use the father of our faith, Abraham, and begin to talk to us about him being what we need in life, provision. Provision in whatever area we need provision. And what's interesting is we're going to talk about, as we work through this, the difference between a resource and God being the source. Because there's an incredible amount of confusion in the body of Christ on who to trust. Should I trust the resource that God has given me, or should I trust the source, which is the Lord himself? So let's work through it. Abraham named that place. Now, interesting enough, the Hebrew word here for named, it's really interesting. It's actually a more definitive statement. It means to actually proclaim or declare something as famous. So this isn't Abraham just doing this and then going, hey, I think I'll just name this place. It's not like an offhand suggestion. It's actually more of Abraham pointing at the situation and saying, I declare this is going to be a famous encounter. This place and what is going to happen here is going to be recorded and sustained throughout human history, and it's going to change a lot of people's lives. This event is going to become famous. That's what he's actually doing. He's not, well, that's a cute rock. I think I'll name this place Jehovah Jireh. That's not what's going on. He's realizing God has done something powerful that's going to set apart the generations to understand something about the Lord, and he's now proclaiming it. This place, this event is going to be recognized. And so what is it telling us? It says, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. Now, by the way, the word provide here is interesting. It means to see, the God who sees. And so, isn't that interesting? I thought it just meant a simple provision, whatever it is. But it actually, the word here in Hebrew is roha. And if you study anything about God's voice or God speaking, you know that this is the word that God uses, one of the words in the Old Testament for seeing or having revelation. Now, isn't that interesting? This is a place where God is calling himself a provider, but the statement is, this is the place where God sees you. So how do we get provider out of God seeing you? What does that mean? Well, it's the richness of the word Jireh. What is that? By the way, most people see it as just provision. So there are 15 different ways this word is understood in the Hebrew. Can you imagine? So here God, he's telling us the Lord will provide. And so what it actually means is the Lord will see to it that something takes place when he moves in your life. When he becomes the source of your life, this is what he gives of himself to you in any area of life. First one is this. Jireh means abundance. It also means to bless. It means to prosper, to succeed, to sustain. It means fulfillment, protection, shelter, graciousness, enjoyment. And this is interesting. It also means rain. Am I going too fast for you, Tiffany? Sorry about that. I'll do it again. It also means rain, and it's also a word for revival. So I'll give it again. Tiffany's trying to write it down. The word Jireh has the meaning of abundance, number two, to bless, number three, to prosper, number four, success, number five, sustain, number six, fulfillment, number seven, protection, number eight, graciousness, 10, enjoyment, 11, it means to rain, which means God brings rain to dryness, number 12, means revival. Now think about this. I left three out. Think about this with me. Abraham has this event, and he says, I'm going to leave it up to the Lord. And what he's saying is, whatever I need in this area of my life, God is willing to do this. He's Jehovah, the one who brings all of this, the definitions that we gave, into a situation. That's why he's saying this is something that has to be declared, and the generations have to know. Now, for our benefit, think about this with me. He's actually telling you that it is God's desire in all these areas to be the source of your life. Now, have you guys ever got into this trap where the first way we understand the word for Jehovah Jireh is we think, well, he'll provide. And so we see him as like, well, he's the guy that gives me the money or takes care of me. Interesting enough, God is trying to teach Abraham and through him, the body of Christ, what it means for God to be the source of something. Now, in the relationship of walking with us, most of us would say, well, I believe God is the source of something. And this is interesting. Israel would do this. They would actually acknowledge the Lord, and then they would, can you imagine, at certain seasons of their life, they would have an idol, and they'd actually trust the idol more than they would the Lord. And then anything, and when it comes to provision or God meeting a need, it's very important to say this. The minute the heart changes from seeing God as the source and begins to trust the resource, the provisional grace or God's ability to meet whatever need is in your life is cut off because you've entered into idolatry by worshiping the resource. And what God does is he tries to teach you to not trust resources. Because if you do, he'll let you realize the resource doesn't have any power to sustain you, and you'll lose the ability to have the need met in your life. This is God trying to deal with idolatry or false worship in the Christian experience. How many of you secretly sometimes think, well, I've got the job here, and so I don't have to worry anymore? Or I've got all this money in my bank account, so I don't need to worry anymore. I've got this, and I don't need to worry anymore. That is taking a resource and turning it into a source. Your security is coming from the resource instead of the source. How many of you have had this incredible experience of trusting a resource and then having it taken away from you? And isn't that a joy? And all of a sudden you're like, oh no, now I have to find the Lord in this thing. I don't know what it is with the human heart and this idea that it's not okay to trust God, it's great to trust resources. Have you guys recognized in your own heart this tendency to always want to have a backup plan? Because if I can't trust the Lord, then I can always go back to the resource. The resource has to be understood properly. If God has given you a job, it's because God has chosen to be the source and use that resource to meet your needs. That's why you don't have to be afraid of the resource he gives you, because if he takes you away, the source has never been taken from you. I had this really fun experience. Once I started understanding this, I'm just going to use money and jobs. I was working this one job, and I just needed more resources. And the Lord was trying to tell me, he was having a conversation with me. He said, Brian, you know, as I was going through life, as a guy getting ready for ministry, I had a lot of different jobs. And he was telling me, even though that man naturally is called your boss, I'm actually your employer, and if you want a raise, you need to ask me for it. So I never thought of it. Have you guys ever thought about that? Hey, God, I need more money here. It's not just me trying to buy more junk. I just didn't even have enough to meet the basic needs. And so I'm asking God in prayer, Lord, I need a raise. I mean, I just need more resources to meet the needs of my household. And it actually shocked me. They used to have six-month reviews, and then they'd either say, well, you're doing a bad job, you don't get a raise, or you're doing a good job, here's a raise. And my boss, just kind of out of the blue, calls me in and says, hey, and actually when he sat there and said it, I actually thought I was hearing the voice of the Lord. He's like, well, we usually don't do this. In fact, in the history of this company, we've never done this, but we've determined we're going to give you a raise. And I'm actually just like, I almost said, why would you do such a thing? But I was so shocked. I was like, I really wanted the resources. And so I was actually just amazed. God can actually do that. Now, If you ever get the joy of where I'm at now in life, I get to trust God as my source all the time. And I always have people walk up to me and go, how do you make it from month to month? You want to know the simple answer? I don't know. It's the Lord. In fact, God is so serious about this kind of stuff. Now think about this. I want you guys to understand this. If God says that this is what the word Jehovah Jireh means, if you don't have that going on in your life, because it's God's job to show you that he can meet these needs in your life, you have to begin to ask a question. Am I trusting the resource more than the source in this situation? Where's my heart when it comes to God being a source here? Let's keep going on in the passage. So let's take, it says, the Lord will provide. And then it says, and it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. Now, interesting again, I'm going to take the word provide, and it means basically, I gave you the categories of what Jireh means, but the word provide here means to see that it is done or a fulfillment. So it means God will see to it. So he's saying this event, and then he kind of makes this declaration, on the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. And so it's basically saying, and the mount represents a kingdom. So in the kingdom of God, God will see to it that everything that you need to live life and godliness, he will provide. It is his responsibility, and it's now tied around the character of the Lord. He's put his name to it. Names, you know, we use names as this person's name is this, and this is what they represent. The name of the Lord is interesting because it reflects the character of the Lord, which we find out from Scripture, God's character does not change. And so when God says it is my job to see to it that these things are met in your life, this is actually supposed to bring a great level of comfort to you and I that all burdens in our life are to be handed to the Lord, and we are supposed to actually make a declaration. See to it, God. It's not mine to carry this. I think it actually gives freedom to you and I, doesn't it? Because you and I don't have to wrestle with tomorrow. We have a God who sees to it. Now, why, and when he's making this declaration, why is the New Testament now pick up Abraham and say, in regard to Abraham and all the events that have happened in his life, he is now going to be described in human history as the father of our faith? Especially when we come to this passage. The word father here that we get for Abraham being the father of our faith in regard to what we just looked at in this passage means he's the one that brings forth all of this. He's the example that God is going to use. He's going to say, this is what God, if you're in the family of God, and it actually ties us into Scripture that we come from the family spiritually from Abraham. Now, this is what God did for Abraham. You're in the lineage spiritually of Abraham through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's saying, what God did with him, God will do with you. You have the same guarantee that was given to Abraham in this situation. It is now your inheritance to accept this, believe it, and put your life on the line to expect God to do this. Last night we were talking about the Word of God, that the Word of God is tested like silver 7 times in a fire. And this is what God loves doing in the believer's life. There's a condition in the heart that God wants for you and I. He wants freedom for worship. When the heart is weighed down with what's going to happen in this situation, what's going to happen in this situation, and is God going to come through in this situation, what should I expect? That doesn't liberate the heart to worship. It brings in the wrong effect of bondage. There's this dynamic that Abraham was living through each one of his experiences that he's trying to bring us to. This liberation that in Christ, in God, there's a whole different way of living that's so joyous that it should be infectious to everybody else. Let me wrap up with this. I had done some reading historically. Have any of you ever read the works of Josephus?
Some.
Okay. Most people don't read it. It's a long historical document about Jewish history, but most people focus on the passages of John the Baptist or the Lord Jesus Christ. And Josephus, in his writing of Jesus, historically, said that there was something unique about him because he was a man full of joy. Well, do you guys ever contemplate that? In a fallen world where there's discouragement, evil, and things because of the effect of what sin has done, the effect of it, you see diminishment. How can living in that, how can someone be full of joy? I really think it comes from these people that have walked before us and the models that they give us about this is what the Lord is like. And it's not just this is what they've lived, they've given us an eternal door to open that all of us can enter into. And Abraham has now given us a door. He's declaring something that is your inheritance. God has made himself famous by meeting whatever needs to be meted in your life. God has understood by his grace to come in your life at places where there's no answer for anything and show that his kingdom is eternal. It cannot be shaken. And it becomes what we would call a way that the Lord glorifies his name in every generation. Now, the good thing is we're living now in our generation, and so we get to actually see if this is going to be taking place in our lives. And the Lord is trying to confirm to you it is. Would you guys join me in prayer now? Father, I just thank you that you have declared on the mount of the Lord it will be provided. And so we ask, would you come into every one of our situations right now? All the things that are going on in our lives, the day-to-day life, the reality of working through struggles, the idea that what does life look like, I ask that you would become strong in the midst of us, Lord, and that your name would be lifted up in the midst of us as our sustainer and our provider. And God, see us the way you've seen Abraham. Move towards our behalf and let us become a people that lift up your name because of your victory in the midst of us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, feel free to drop us a line at emmausfellowship@icloud.com. If you're curious about ways you can be more deeply involved in this community, visit our website at emmausfellowship.org and be sure to like our Facebook page.